we have some very, this is very special right now.
It sure is.
How do you become a convention operator?
Well, manager, owner, all of that. But joining us in our Touchpoint Rehab interview chairs, Brad, are George Gonzalez, created and managed numerous major events and shows, many different types in a decades-long career, and his daughter, Christy Gonzalez, who grew up watching her parents run events. And today she is the president of Northeast Expos, Inc., and is a past president of the National Association of Consumer Show Producers, and was invited to become a member of the Home and Garden Show Executives International. Welcome both to Brad and Dan.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
George, how did you get involved? What made you decide you were going to pursue this line of work?
A good friend of mine, Frank Murata, whom I knew since I was a kid. He was in the car business, and he was the Walt Disney of the automobile business back then.
Sure was.
And he created a lot of cars, and my dad was in the business for 52 years. He had a shop on Capitol Avenue called Glenwood Auto. He started delivering ice in Hartford, went to the milk, and then it went to oil. And then he went into the car business. So you figure that one out.
He made it big.
Yeah, so I was banging out fenders when I was 10 years old. And so then I graduated with my buddy Brad's wife, former Rosanna, 1958.
Yes, she did.
Buckley High School.
Buckley High School, same
we were
class
great
as
friends,
Rosanna.
Great friends. And then I went on to work for International Harvester in 1963, got married in 63. And then I evolved into working for Harvester, and then I went with E.P. Hayes, and I got transferred. So I made a number of career changes early in my life. And then in 1969, I bumped into Frank Murata, and he needed a guy to write commercials and stuff like that for the dragway and then help him produce shows. So we developed about 10 shows while I was working with him. I worked with him for 7 years, and in 1976, I went into business for myself, producing auto shows, boat shows,
everything.
Kind of stuff. So,
the Johnny Duke Bellevue Square Boys Club, huh? You remember that one?
They said it would never happen in Hartford, but I became friends with Johnny Duke and Elaine Savin, and they convinced me to produce this boxing match. And it was the first AAU boxing match in the state of Connecticut, and I was proud to be a part of it. Where Johnny Cicero was involved. Manny Liebert, if you remember Manny.
Do I remember?
These are names of the past that these
Bob
guys
Steele,
aren't
around. They were all, yes.
Bob Steele, yeah. Bob Steele was cooking eggs at our food show. For,
That's true. Steele was cooking eggs for us.
Yeah. It was kind of nuts, but I learned so much from Frank. Frank was a genius of a guy, great guy. We parted ways in 76, so I started in Lewis Street. Yeah, in 1976, one room, a card table, and one chair, and one phone. And the office was formerly or prior owned by or used by Senator Dodd. It was his office.
How about that?
Right behind the old church on Lewis Street. And that's where I started. I was paying $50 a month for rent.
How many shows did you produce? I mean, seriously. I remember when you walked in, you brought some of the programs with you. I said, oh, my God. I remember those days. Well,
hundreds.
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 Yeah.
Hundreds. Yeah. Over the almost 40 years, we produced what we call flat shows, food shows, flower shows, all kinds of shows. Was in the concert business for 5 years. Harry Chapin. We did literally about 40 to 50 concerts
and
in the 5 years.
And IMC, some of your shows.
You were always there. Are you kidding me? I couldn't get rid of this guy. He was in the hotel at 5 in the morning. You nuts or what? He was off the wall, always has been.
Right, he still is. Christy, how about you? What interested you in pursuing your parents' career?
Well, I don't know how to do anything else, really. I mean, I grew up watching all these concerts, all the flat shows. I learned how to type at a very early age. And we used to have a mimeograph machine in our basement running off press releases. So I was always involved, and it was fun. I enjoyed it, and just went to college for marketing and advertising, thought about being an accountant, but I had a passion for the event business. It's fun to open the doors and watch everybody smile and make sales at their booths. It's interesting. You meet a lot of wonderful people as well.
How has it changed since when your parents got in the business?
There's a lot of more social media, internet. Trying to just capture the audience is a little bit more difficult. You can't really measure your results sometimes. That's a lot more expensive, I think, than when they were first producing the events. The costs go up. So it's a struggle every day.
Are you still involved, George?
I try not to be.
He is.
I'm her mentor, and whenever my kids, my son's in the business as well, and whenever they call me, I'm there, no matter what it is. They give me problems to try to solve, and I put my best to it, and I truly miss it. I had to wean myself off this business. It took me about 5 years to do that, but I did wean myself off. Which is a great thing. I'm going to be 77 next month, and so I've tried to enjoy my time off. My kids are great. But getting back to the question you asked, Christy, businesses have gotten smaller, and we rely on these flat shows, the flower show, the fishing and hunting expo, and the RV and camping show. Small businesses, and there's less and less of them, and they're being taken over by their kids, and their kids don't work. Kids today don't have the work ethics that the parents had. And that's what shrunk the business. So you got to work 10 times harder to produce as many people to come. And then naturally you got to have.
But you know, one of the things that I remember, and when you walked in here, is that it was a show, but everybody was involved and it was fun. And I mean, we all came, and the people came. We used to pack these places. I remember the boxing shows with Johnny Duke. My God, it was, that was a show in itself, just to talk to Johnny Duke.
Yeah, some shows are harder. The flower show is the most difficult show in the.
They are?
In the whole industry, you couldn't find a more difficult show to produce.
Two very special people. Boy, when you think of Hartford, you think of, some of the great shows that have been produced over the years, George Gonzalez, and he's with his daughter here, Christy, and still going strong, the fishing, the hunting show, the Connecticut Flower Show. You just mentioned that the flower shows are the toughest, though, huh?
Absolutely.
Why?
The sheer nature of getting plants to be forced in the middle of February is amazing. The landscapers do a fantastic job. The logistics of bringing in 300 cubic yards of mulch. I grow 3,000 square feet of sod in my greenhouse.
Wow.
Just putting all the pieces together, not to mention snow, overcoming just different obstacles. And again, the work that it takes for the landscapers to put these things together, and their creativity, and just finding these businesses that want to put the effort in is very difficult.
You mentioned the Harry Chapin concert. You promoted concerts. So what was that like, promoting a concert?
Absolutely nuts. We produced, we used to call it, and I had a partner at the time in the music business, which we separated in 1980. We produced everything from the Boston Pops to Iggy Pop.
Wow.
And I gave you a list of the concerts right here. These are the concerts that we produced. And we did that. I did it for 5 years. Dave went on to produce his own shows.
Seals and Crofts, Harry Chapin, Hope Calcutta, Electric Light Orchestra, Pat and Debbie Boone, NRBQ, and that's just some of them. Did you have a favorite?
Yeah. Actually, I enjoyed Arthur Fiedler. Him and my wife hit it off, and the whole family was involved at the concerts. And it was a tough, tough business. Give you an example of ELO was like $100,000 the first time we played them,
and then $100,000.
Yeah, $100,000 plus a piece of the gate.
Right.
And then the following year they went to $200,000. Needless to say, we went out of the concert business. But Jimmy Koblick and I grew up in the business together. I helped him get Colts Park. Was myself. Bill Lilliman and another person from the state or from the city, and they were all biting to get Colts Park. So I pitched in for Jimmy, and we became instant friends and have been all these years.
You know, I'll never forget at the hotel in downtown Hartford outside wintertime. It was freezing. And Mr. Chapin was there. And he put on a concert like you would not believe. He never quit. Drove a Volkswagen. That's what he drove. You remember that?
He got killed in a Volkswagen.
That's right. Yeah. He got killed in the Volkswagen. It was
81, 82, I forget.
Yeah, I'll never forget. Never forget when we got the call that...
Well, Dave, my former partner, he was a genius in a lot of ways. We put together the Hartford Symphony and Harry Chapin. And Steve Chapin, his brother, wrote every single line for every single instrument in 56 pieces.
Wow.
He was a genius. And when he passed, it was devastating. And I don't know what ever happened to Steve, but he was the key. And we did that with several towns, putting an orchestra like the Hartford Symphony with a big talent.
Talking with Christy Gonzalez, George Gonzalez, they're in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chairs. Christy, when the family gathers around and you reminisce about some of the events that you have produced, what are some of your favorite stories? What comes up in conversation?
Well, there's always what we can improve upon. My dad is very helpful in making sure that we produce the best events that we can. My mom doesn't like to talk business anymore, so we put that on hold. One of my favorite things that my dad did was the Hartford Hellions. I used to have a blast at those soccer games. All my friends. He also brought the Black Watch to my kindergarten class, which I remember vividly because I told everyone my dad owned the Civic Center.
He wouldn't want to own it now.
Well, it's now the Excel Center, but he popped into the school with the Black Watch, and it was amazing. And I'm like, hey, that's my dad. And everyone, you know, it was fun growing up because there was always something different going on. I was really mad that I didn't get to go see the Charlie Daniels band at Walnut Hill Park, I think it was, in New Britain,
at the stadium.
My brother got to go, and I did not. So those are some of the things that I remember because I really felt left out.
You produced Charlie Daniels?
Yeah.
One of my favorites. What was he like?
Nuts. They were all nutty. Yeah. It was a great experience to be around these talents, and it became like friends immediately. It's just a great atmosphere. But, you know, going through the gamut of things, I love to produce sporting events. I did Olympic volleyball, sold out the Springfield Civic Center 2 years in a row. We did with Mary Heslin. I brought the U.S. Volleyball team.
I remember
Olympic
that
team.
With Mary.
And against what? Where did I pick? What city did I pick? New Britain. All Polish. That was the Polish national team.
They just loved.
And one of the key things in the industry is that if she has a flower show, you want to make it perfect. You want to make it pure. People don't want a mixed show. They want to identify themselves with flowers. You want to identify yourself with fishing and hunting. And you don't have a bunch of garbage in there. You got to keep them pure. And people get used to that, and that's what they demand, and that's what you got to give them as a producer. And then you got to go out of the box and get some wild stuff, crazy stuff. Like we had Dan, Spider-Man Dan.
Oh.
Everybody thought he was going to climb the building, and we brought him around town. The Hartford Courant did a front-page story on him. I never had him climb a building. He was one that climbed the World Trade Center, and I had him in for the RV show. So
can you imagine? He had all these people there. Had them all.
You
had them all.
Nuts stuff. Crazy. And big talent. You got to get big stuff. Like produced variety shows at the Bushnell. Had Rodney Dangerfield. Had, what was the mime?
Marcel
Marceau. Oh, I mean, all those people. And you get the best.
What was Rodney like?
I have to use the word nuts again. He was a wonderful guy, and he was as funny off stage as he was on stage. And we did that for the Lions Club, raised thousands and thousands of dollars for the Lions Club. For 10 years I did that. And then it kind of wore out because the talent wasn't there, and I used to use Paul Landeman. I booked through Paul Landeman.
Oh, yeah.
And I say, Paul, what do you think we do this time? We did, the talent we had was incredible. Great shows, but it drew people, and we had sellout crowds. I don't. All I want is sell out crowds.
Max, our in-studio producer, is a big Rodney fan. I am too.
Oh, Rodney.
He just loved Rodney.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
I have one of his original No Respect albums on vinyl. Oh, is that? My father gave it to me, and it's. I still listen to it this day. I mean, it's legendary. It's so fun.
Oh, there's something. Henny Youngman.
Henny Youngman, yes.
We had him. Yeah, yeah. He's another one.
Yeah.
Everything he said, off stage, on stage, was funny.
Take my wife, please.
Oh, God.
Oh, and Chef Tell was always one of my favorites.
Really? Chef Tell?
He was almost a member of the family.
He was. He was great. He loved Christy. He loved the family. He came to almost every one of my food shows. He was quite a gentleman, quite a guy. And I had Graham Carr, if you remember him.
Oh, yeah,
and then
of course.
He went into religion. He got out of the industry. I brought him back. And I did him in 1970-something. I can't even remember. It was late 70s. I did him as a single-man show at the Teletrack in New Haven. And so it was one of the first cooking shows, I think, in the United States on a sing-along, standalone guy. So, and a lot of time, it really, that whole concept would have came to fruition years after, but maybe I was a little ahead of my time. Galvin Gourmet.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. Christy, what's it like? It must be, I would imagine, a juggling act preparing for all of these events, right?
You need to be organized. You need to pay attention to detail. There's a lot of things that we see that aren't perfect, but the general public won't see, but you have that perception always that you need to make it perfect. Trying to sell booth space is constantly a struggle. And then competing for entertainment. There's so many things out there for families to do as well, whether it's indoor soccer with their kids. So you have to compete with their entertainment time and, again, produce a pure quality show so they keep coming back year after year. And I think I've achieved that, through my dad's assistance for the flower show. We've been known to have one of the best flower and garden shows in the country.
Has technology helped you in being organized?
Yes, I now have an app for my events. So you can run contests with your app, and you can have your mobile ping you when there's a seminar that you're interested in. So it's really interesting on how people are so attached to their devices, and they carry them around the show just to check in and win free things or receive discounts.
What is the app, by the way?
Right now it's under Northeast Expos, and it'll change periodically with the events that I have. So right now we're uploading for the fishing and hunting show, which takes place next weekend.
That's a big one, the fishing and hunting show.
Huge, to talk about
huge.
That, by the way.
You're coming back for that.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I mean, that is a big show. There's no question about it. If there's one common theme, whether you're talking about 1976 or 2017 in convention, production and promotion, what would it be? I'll ask you both.
The theme.
Yeah, but what's changed? Has anything changed, or is there one thing? You know, it doesn't matter if we did it in 1976 at the Civic Center or now at the Convention Center. We've always done a certain thing to make this a success.
Quality.
Quality.
The quality. Yeah. You just need to keep the quality there so that when the attendee comes through, whether it's a concert or a game, that they feel that they're receiving value for what they've paid for.
And you have to add excitement into it. How do you excite people each and every year with the same event, bringing in different speakers, different seminars? You have to change with the time, and naturally the media contacting people through the internet or whatever, that has changed completely. As all you, I can't tell you more than that. But the point is that you got to keep the quality, you got to keep the excitement, and you got to bring in the powerhouses to draw people. And that's the main theme. But underlining all of that, the expenses today to run such as a flower show or any show in that facility, which is 4.5 acres roughly, is it blows your mind. So people come and say, gee, I got to pay $16 or $18 to come to this show. You have no idea what it costs to produce that show. Mm-hmm. And prices of everything. Look at the concerts today, $100, $125. Can you imagine the cost? It's mind-boggling.
Yep, sure.
So those are the main, if there's a theme, you got to keep your mind where your expenses are, make sure that you don't overprice yourself, and excite the public to come. Those are the
Well, I want to say, before you get out of here, I want to say that I remember you. and you helped me so much when I was just starting. Really?
Really?
Oh, you did. The Bellevue Square Boys Club, all of that. We used to be down there. We used to be all over the place. When I was just coming to town and...
When I get involved, I get involved. I really get involved. Downtown Hartford is in my heart. I was born and raised in Hartford, and I'll do anything for the city of Hartford.
Christy, George, we're out of time. Thanks very much for coming into our studio today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for the memories.
Yes. There's a song there.
God bless you.
You're the man. You're the man.